than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. With tensions already high between Shiites and Sunnis, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says U.S. troops could bump up a bit for the upcoming religious Ashura pilgrimage by Shiites.
We move troops in and out depending on events, like we did for the referendum, the election. There's a pilgrimage coming up. We may very well, General Casey may decide he wants to bulk up slightly for the pilgrimage.
Rumsfeld says it is not civil war there. CBS News correspondent Laura Logan says the Iraqis agree for now.
There's only so much people can take before they're pushed into one direction. And lots of Iraqis say they don't want a civil war. They really don't want a civil war, but they need a viable alternative to that. And a power vacuum is not a viable alternative.
87 more bodies were found today. The only question for the sentencing trial of Al-Qaeda soldier Zacharias Moussaoui is whether he may be put to death. And that's just become a steeper climb for prosecutors.
It is clearly a blow to the prosecution, and the government made clear it intends to appeal. The government's case to execute Moussaoui rests on the argument that 9/11 could have been prevented if he told what he knew. But now none of the people involved in aviation security who could have said what they would have done can testify. No matter what happens here, though, Moussaoui doesn't go free. This trial is only to decide if he gets the death penalty or life in prison without parole.
Those witnesses are barred from testifying because a government lawyer briefed them on what to expect. The trial's been delayed until Monday to allow the government time to appeal the ruling. Palestinian security forces have been rounding up foreigners in the West Bank. And that's caused some percolation. The roundup was for their own protection, they say, after several others were kidnapped by radicals upset over an Israeli raid against some Palestinian militants hiding in a prison in Jericho. Three people are missing on the Hawaiian island of Kauai. A dam burst there, and the floodwaters may have swept those people away. One person is confirmed dead. The space shuttle will wait a while longer for its next launch. The plan to fly in May has been pushed back until at least July. Why? One of the fuel tank sensors isn't working right. Shuttle program manager Wayne Hale.
There may be a problem in manufacturing some of these sensors. And that problem is in the way the wires are attached to these low-level sensors.
If and when the shuttle Discovery flies again, it'll be the first time since Columbia disintegrated.
I'm Mike Wallace.
I'm Morley Safer.
I'm Ed Bryant.
The world knows that sound, of course. Mike Wallace is retiring as a 60 Minutes regular in a few weeks. He's 88, says it's time to rest a little. There is a baseball story in Jackson, Mississippi. The Mississippi State Bulldogs are the only major school in the nation still undefeated. They're 11-0 going into tonight's game in Alabama-Birmingham. Mississippi State pitching has a combined ERA of 2.09, and the team is hitting 317. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 75 points to close at 11,150. NASDAQ up nearly 29. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
Thank you for calling us. This is Sheila.
I need to get some more minutes.
Okay, I can assist you with that.
I don't believe in cell phones when I'm driving, so this is my salvation.
OnStar hands-free calling is a voice-activated calling feature built into OnStar-equipped vehicles that allows subscribers to make and receive calls while keeping their hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
Thank you for holding. Those minutes have been downloaded to your vehicle successfully.
Bless your heart. All of my friends, when they're going to buy cars, I just say, if you're smart, you'll get OnStar.
Well, thank you.
There are no additional access fees, roaming, or long-distance charges.
Y'all have gotten me out of some sticky situations.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Well, you are just the best. I think you all are the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Okay.
OnStar hands-free calling is available on 16 Chevy cars and trucks. To purchase minutes or learn more about this service, push your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar hands-free calling is not available in certain markets.
Best-selling author Dan Brown was in court today arguing, no, he did not rip off ideas for the Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code novelist Dan Brown was accused of lying in the British High Court by the lawyer representing his accusers, the authors of a nonfiction book. They claim he stole their idea for his bestseller. The lawyer disputed Brown's claim he did not read the nonfiction book until he was well into writing the Da Vinci Code. Brown admits he did use the Holy Blood and the Holy Grail as a source, but he insists it was not an important one. Others, he says, were more significant. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
In Greensburg, Pennsylvania, a house for sale is a special kind of opportunity. The owner wants to be part of the deal. Mark Miller says he's too busy running the American Association for Lost Children to find a wife, so he's hoping a new wife will want the townhouse and him. The deal is subject to the fine print of compatibility. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Can we talk? Yes, we can. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live, unrehearsed, unscripted from now till 6 o'clock. And this is a live, en vivo, they say in Espanol, telephone talk show, which means that you can call in and yak at the host. We welcome your calls anywhere along the way. Here's the number, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Or we've got the toll-free Watts line standing by for you listening in Eureka or anywhere else within the sound of my voice. That's at 1-888-579-2540. We've got lots of activists to talk with on the program today, and there is lots to get active about. We're going to take two looks at ethics in Washington. We'll kick off the show in just a moment with Mike Sirusco. He's the director of the Ethics Campaigns for Common Cause. Coming up at 5 o'clock, our weekly visit with Melanie Sloan, executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They've just unloaded a legal brief on Grover Norquist and his taxpayers' organization. And in exchange, they have been attacked at CREW. We'll get the update for you in the 5 o'clock segment. Coming up in about a half an hour, Rory O'Connor returns from Media Channel, the call for action regarding the war and the media is starting today, and there are active demonstrations taking place in major cities starting tomorrow. Also on the program today, a look at the Endangered Species Act, which is an endangered species itself. Dr. Barry Noon will be joining us. And our weekly visit with investigative reporter Jason Leopold. He's going to tell you the story of Richard Barlow. And Ambassador Joe Wilson should know about Richard Barlow, as Barlow got smeared by the same gang that has attacked him, the Cheney Cabal. We'll have those details coming up between 4:30 and 5 today. And along the way, there's lots of room for your call, so join the conversation when you like. And if you prefer to send me an email, my address, peter@krxa540.com. Mike Sirusco returns to our program today. He's at Common Cause. They're on the web at commoncause.org. Hello, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I wish you had better news to report that the members of the House and Senate were taking seriously the need to reform lobbying, reform some of the freebies and trips that they get. But I guess the same way that sending Martha Stewart to jail fixed all the problems of corporate corruption, sending Duke Cunningham to jail has fixed all the problems between elected officials and lobbyists. So they're just, you got to move on. There's nothing more to do.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of backtracking since early January when Jack Abramoff pleaded guilty and agreed to cooperate with the federal investigation. And at that point, you had Dennis Hastert, who was the Speaker of the House, and coming out and saying that he thought privately funded travel for members of Congress should be completely banned. You had a number of proposals coming out from the leadership of both parties, really kind of pushing ethics reform and lobbying reform. And since then, the enthusiasm and the momentum for that has really faded, and we're at a point now where we've got not much happening at all in the House, and in the Senate, where we had the best chances of something genuinely happening, we're sort of in a state of limbo right now, and we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen.
But, Mike, do you realize what you're trying to do? You're trying to send Senator Sentlot to McDonald's?
Well,
he, you know, I mean, come on. You don't want him to have to eat dinner with his wife every night, do you?
Well, I got nothing wrong with McDonald's, but and I don't know Senator Lott's wife, that's for sure, you know. But,
well, these were his complaints last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the complaint that Senator Lott was making, which was kind of silly, really, was, well, one of the proposals was, well, we want to limit the amount of money that lobbyists can spend on taking a member of Congress to, you know, out to lunch or whatever, to $20 or something. It's only $50 now, so it's not like this was some earth-shattering change that was going to be made. And so Senator Lott shot back to, well, you know, we'll have to go to McDonald's because $20 doesn't buy you lunch anywhere in Washington, practically.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, now that Abramoff isn't picking up checks.
Yeah, right. And it is the restaurant signatures.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing which really kind of is a, you know, is representative of the attitude is that this, you know, should be happening. You know, there's nothing stopping members of Congress, of course, from buying lunch for themselves. You know, I'm sure they're paid enough money that they can afford to buy themselves lunch.
Hey, right there across the street from the Capitol at Union Station, there are 20 different
food
stores,
yeah,
where you can have lunch for under 10
sure.
bucks, because I've done it.
Sure. and the suggestion that Senator Lott was making is, you know, like I said, a lot of people are very you know, cynical almost about this reform. In fact, Senator Coburn, in the committee hearing for this legislation, actually offered amendments in jest because he was making some statement about, you know, how silly he thought this whole, you know, reform effort was. But the funny thing was that his fellow senators didn't realize that, and Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska became enraged practically at one of these amendments that he had offered that would cover spouses of senators, and then left the hearing, and so he never even heard the explanation that Senator Coburn had offered them in jest. I wonder if he'll do that again, but there's definitely not only resistance but almost a kind of dismissal of the need to do ethics reform and lobbying reform.
Mike Soresco with us from Common Cause here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Mike, last night the new majority leader, who's just slightly less ethically challenged than the guy he replaced, Tom DeLay, John Boehner from Ohio, was on the NewsHour. And it was interesting the way he responded, because Lehrer didn't quite pepper him the way Dick Cheney would with a shotgun, but he did pursue him a couple of times on the ethics issue. And
yeah,
it was interesting because Boehner kept, you know, doing some happy talk, saying, oh, yeah, we're meeting, we're talking, we're working on it, and there's going to be a package. There's going to be a package. He just kept talking vaguely about a package. And then when pressed, he said, well, you know, transparency, that's what we need.
Yeah.
We simply need to report these $500 meals with lobbyists. And do it in a timely manner. And, you know, that way everybody knows what's going on, but we can still have free meals.
Yeah, that's been the solution that's been offered most by largely Republicans. And in one sense, they're right, that disclosure, we do need increased disclosure because the rules about lobbyists are poor and they're not enforced. But the key point is, though, that in addition to better rules, there needs to be some way to enforce those rules, because the problem now is that they just don't get enforced. In terms of the lobbying disclosure, there's an office called the Clerk of the House, and then there's the Secretary of the Senate, and they're the ones who are supposed to be, you know, following up and accepting disclosure from lobbyists and making sure that they're filled out correctly. And I think everyone here pretty much agrees that that's not, I mean, you know, most of us agree that they're not doing a really good job of following up with that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in a lot of articles, you'll see that lobbyists sometimes consider that law voluntary because the enforcement is so poor. So all that basically means that if we don't do something about improving and strengthening the enforcement of those rules, then the guys that are going to get hurt are the ones that are actually trying to follow the rules. They're the ones that aren't breaking the law. And the guys that are, you know, like Abramoff, they're not going to file those disclosure forms anyway. You know, I mean, if you're going to cheat, you're going to lie about it too, right? So unless there's some credible threat that you're going to get caught for not disclosing some, you know, meal that you had with a member, more rules aren't going to make a bit of difference.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue with Mike Ciresco from Common Cause. He's the director of ethics campaigns, and that's a job that could last a lifetime. As we continue, I want to talk about spouses. Members of Congress who are married to individuals who work as lobbyists, you know, like Bob and Liddy Dole, or on a lesser level, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Also want to talk about the free rides or the nearly free rides they get on corporate jets. If you have a question or comment about ethics in Washington, join us 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and through electronic filing. Get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance.
Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner, Tracy, is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Welcome aboard, Senator. Our Gulfstream is at your disposal. And hey, just write us a check for the equivalent of first-class airfare. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Mike Sirusko, Director of Ethics Campaigns at Common Cause in Washington. Visit their website to get an update on the legislation proposed and generally stalled in the Senate and in the House. And commoncause.org is the web address there. Now, Mike, it's interesting because to his credit, Senator Barack Obama took some rides on some corporate jets and somewhere over the Great Plains had a catharsis, kind of like when St. Paul went to Damascus. And he said, you know, this doesn't smell right. And certainly it's very convenient for a senator to get a ride on a cushy Gulfstream or a Learjet from some corporation. But it not only suggests that they're cozy with that corporation, and when the CEO calls and says, hey, did you enjoy the Gulfstream? Well, Archer Daniels Midland has some ethanol legislation we'd like you to take a look at, Senator. And that issue, plus the way it is billed, leaves many people saying, well, why don't we just ban this entirely?
Well, that's right. And that's another good example of how, I think that a lot of members here just don't get the perception that out in the states of kind of what's happening here in D.C. And this issue that came up that you just described, where members can take trips, they can, you know, fly all over on privately chartered jets that are owned by companies. And some companies, you know, have these jets kind of ready and waiting for members. Yeah. And are, you know, designed or intended for that purpose, mm-hmm. Democrats and Republicans. And the rules as they are now is that the member would reimburse the company for the price of a first-class airfare ticket from, you know, point A to point B. But obviously the cost of chartering a jet versus just getting a first-class ticket is a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
And you can't really spell it out just by the number of miles traveled either, because the flight attendants, the pilots, the maintenance, the hangar, you know, those are annualized expenses that are huge, and you can't calculate them just by saying, well, it was a four-hour flight and there were three people on the plane.
Yeah, and it's and that's the other thing, is that when they take these flights, it's not like they're flying on a commercial airliner. They're sitting in, it's like they're sitting in someone's living room with a cocktail and a lobbyist and, you know, a couple other guys who are, you know, who are lobbying the senator or the member. So it's, you know, and when this was proposed that, okay, let's stop doing this because it's clearly has the, you know, appearance of buying access to a member of Congress for people who can afford it, people just freaked out. Ted Stevens from Alaska said that he couldn't go back to his state practically if he didn't have these chartered jets, you know, to fly him there.
Yeah.
And it just is striking to see that some of these senators who, you know, they just don't seem to get it.
How about this tearful comment from Dianne Feinstein, our senior senator in California, whose husband has a corporate jet that he can put at her disposal. He is a major investment banker. A couple of the companies that he has a stake in do business with the federal government. They did business with China, but he's sworn off that. And so she was quoted in the New York Times recently saying, well, I've got to have this plane. I flew from Colorado to Los Angeles to San Diego to San Francisco to Sacramento, back to L.A. to San Bernardino and back to San Francisco. That was all in 1 week. And she said, well, she couldn't do that. If she flew commercial, it would be too expensive.
Right.
Well, come on, Diane.
Right. Yeah, there's no question that members of Congress and, you know, are traveling a lot. That's, you know, that's part of the job. But it emphasizes the fact that they rely on these favors, these very expensive favors from companies or, you know, unions or whoever who have a specific legislative interest and are doing this for them because they want something in return.
Well, I know my union doesn't have a jet.
Right.
I'll tell you that. Let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, folks. You know, I think the prices involved in these corporate jets may represent only a very small fraction of what the real graft is about with some members of our Congress. I think many of the deals that, say, Tom DeLay offered to a giant corporation come up with $600,000, and in return you'll get several million dollars of Treasury funds for whatever in return. And I think that's it kind of makes the...
You're being a little light on the return on the investment. It's usually 600 grand and you get 50 million out.
I think that's if you're talking Bechtel or something like that, you're being very generous. Yeah.
Mike,
but
a comment?
I'm sure it is graft, and it is something that puts the legislator beholden to the corporation that's providing it.
Oh, sure. It's a flight they'll never forget.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the stakes are huge. You know, if you look at the case with Duke Cunningham, it's a little different. But, you know, Cunningham took about $2.5 million in bribes. But the contracts that these companies got from his, you know, his service as a member of the Appropriations Committee in the House of Representatives with tens of millions of dollars.
Well, plus they had to change the oil in the rolls they gave him too.
Sure,
that was just amazing.
And the bidet or whatever, you know.
The gift wasn't enough; they had to maintain it too. Hey, Dave, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Got about a minute remaining, Mike, and I just wanted to talk briefly about spouses because there are a number of conflicts that have surfaced. It's Democrat and Republican. It's both elected officials and their partners, and staffers and spouses or partners. And while, you know, we don't want to get in the way of people earning a living, there has to be some limit on the ability of two people who are related by marriage to separate their business and political affairs.
Yeah, that has come up in a number of ways as we're going through this about family members and as it relates to lobbying, as it relates to employment. You know, there's a couple of members who employ their spouse on their campaign committee,
right,
and there's questions about whether or not they're being, you know, compensated at the appropriate level. You know, you really get into kind of some touchy questions when you start talking about spouses and what their role should be.
They are touchy, but the conflicts are as clear as the touchiness is.
Yeah, there's amendments that are kind of hanging out there that prevent, for instance, a spouse from doing official business with their lobbyist spouse and their staff. Lobbying their spouse. Didn't say that very well, so there's definitely conflicts of interest that come up, and that's really kind of goes to the heart of a lot of these proposals, is that there are some inherent conflicts of interest that we need to deal with.
Mike, we're out of time, but thank you very much for your work.
Okay, thanks for having me.
I direct people to commoncause.org for more information. Coming up next, Rory O'Connell from mediachannel.org will join us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays. Use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236. 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wits' end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender. And believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
And a cooperative, compliant media.
He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble.
Yes, a whole world of trouble. 3 years ago this week, George W. Bush launched the unilateral invasion of Iraq. And he did it after promising that he'd go back to the United Nations. Of course, the resolution passed by the Congress in the fall of 2002 stipulated that he must do so. But he didn't. And now we're stuck with this messy situation in Iraq. And the rosy talk from the president this week, he's once again trying to bounce up his basement bottom poll numbers by talking about how wonderful things are in Iraq and how they're going to get better any day now. And it's time for action. As we observe this grisly third anniversary, I think it's important not only to protest the war, and many people will take to the streets this Saturday in Washington and around the nation to do so, but the folks at Media Channel have decided to put together some coalitions of activists and send a message to the media that we know how badly they have performed, how badly they have let us down. Co-founder of Media Channel's Rory O'Connor, who joins us again today. Hi, Rory.
Peter B., it's always a pleasure.
Mine, too. And I'm really glad that you and Danny Schechter and your other co-conspirators have recognized this issue and brought it up on a par with the war protests that are scheduled for later this week.
Well, if it weren't for the media, we wouldn't have a war to protest. That's our position here. And, you know, obviously, having started the Media Channel 6 or 7 years ago because of the wide-ranging problems that we found in the media system, I think we saw that it all came to a head over Iraq, and all the tendencies that had been creeping up on us suddenly exploded. And as you said, led us into this abysmal situation that we're now in.
Yeah. And it's interesting because in the pep talks the president started giving yesterday, he has dropped those lines from Dr. Peter Feaver about the victory strategy and how we're on the road to victory. He's got a plan for victory, 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 victory.
I guess they didn't test well with the latest focus groups.
Well, not only that, he has repeatedly been confronted with reality recently, and it's caused the president to have to adjust his rhetoric.
Well, you know, what we're trying to do this week in working with the United for Peace and Justice group is to get some other executives, some media executives, to perhaps adjust their reality as well. There's a spring offensive. I'm sure that you and your listeners are well aware. As you said, it is the third anniversary, and the protesters, myself among them, are getting involved in a spring offensive against the war. What makes it different this time, Peter, is that it's being kicked off on Wednesday, March 15th, coming up, with a National Day of Media Action. Mm-hmm. So we think it's very significant that United for Peace and Justice actually pulled a fast one on us. Originally, this was supposed to be the last day of the spring offensive, and when we talked to them about the plans and the reaction that we've been getting across the country, they decided that they had to kick off the spring offensive and moved it up a week on us. So we're very pleased to be working with them. And, you know, when it's appropriate, I'd like to get into some of the details of what's going to be happening and how listeners all over the country, including out on the West Coast, can get involved.
You have actions planned in major cities. And for at least the three listeners who listen in New York City online, there is an event tonight, 7 to 10 p.m., and that's the panel discussion and anti-war speak out at the Judson Church, 55 Washington Square South.
That's right, and thank you for mentioning that. Most of the team is over there right now, but I stayed behind because I wanted to reach out to your listeners.
Great, and tell us who's on the panel over there discussing this evening.
Well, we've got Danny Schechter, the news dissector, of course. We've got Tim Carr, who used to work for us running the Media Channel and Media for Democracy, who is now the campaign director for our sister organization, freepress.org. And, of course, we don't want to forget Priya, who has been organizing all of this. Priya Reddy has been doing such a wonderful job of really pulling his activism together for us. And the event tonight is really just one of many. One of the things that we have been doing is having a pretty active email campaign. It's literally getting tens of thousands of emails sent to major U.S. media outlets demanding that they do a better job of reporting on the war, but also a better job of reporting on the anti-war movement and the protests against it. And, you know, just quickly, Peter, I remember 3 years ago, when I was out on the streets with my two sons, it was their first ever protest march, and the three of us were there along with 300,000 other people here in New York City protesting the war, which was about to kick off. And I remember going home after that and turning on the cable newsers like CNN, and seeing that a protest in Times Square that had about 300 people in favor of the war was given equal treatment. So the lead was, you know, protesters came out today both pro and con, you know, the war in Iraq. 300,000 people against, 300 in favor were somehow equated.
Yeah.
In order, well, this is least, what we get for balance among our major media.
And because there was a pro-war demonstration, the anti-war demonstration at least got covered in that instance.
Yeah,
but when we took
point.
To the streets in January, there was a worldwide march in January of 2003, and like you, I took the family, and it was invigorating to see the generations of people who were out there. It was not limited to some of the youthful skinhead types who I, for example, saw at the WTO protests in Seattle. This
right.
was multi-generational, all walks of life represented, and a very broad-based expression of opposition to the war, and there was virtually zero coverage.
Well, this is why we thought it was so important to kick off this this year's spring offensive by focusing on the media, because there has been complicit in the war.
But, Rory, how are we going to get them to lift the blackout? Because by criticizing the media, it's almost a sure shot that they're going to focus on Natalie Holloway or that St. Guyon girl who got murdered in New York.
Well, you know, to quote Scoop Nisker, I guess if you don't like the news, you're going to have to make some of your own. And that's what we're attempting to do this week. Let me just run down some of the things that we're helping people to do and that I think people can do. And I'm sure they'll have some of their own ideas, and we'd love to hear them and join them as well. And I want to point out that we are always encouraging people to be positive and to be professional whenever they reach out to the media. I'm in the media myself. And I know that when people come to me, if they do it in a respectful and positive way, I'm apt to listen a lot more than if I feel like I'm being attacked. So let's keep that in mind. However, let's get out there. Let's call journalists. Let's call talk show hosts like I'm doing right now. Let's write letters to the editors. Let's go to the media outlets. And this is something we'll be doing here tomorrow. I'll give you the details in a moment. Let's go to them and tell them what we're doing, why we're doing it, and let's ask them to cover that as well and do it in a fair way. Let's go to our church groups, our union groups, our community groups, put announcements about actions out there on websites, on the email lists. And then once we have, even a small group of people, let's form a delegation and go and attempt to meet with your local media decision makers. You know, at the hometown newspaper, let's face it, most places only have one these days.
Ours is on the block.
Go to the radio station. Go to the TV outlets in your hometown. Plan carefully ahead of time so that you have your key message points ready and you have tough and specific questions. Ask them, for example, to report more on civilian casualties, to report more on the corruption that we know has been endemic there, and, as I mentioned, to report more on anti-war activism. Now, one of the things that we're doing tomorrow here in New York City, which obviously is one of the media capitals of the world, is that we have organized midday protests in front of the media outlets themselves. So between noon and 2 o'clock on Wednesday, we will be taking a tour of the headquarters of the major media outlets, a group of people with signs that we're calling upon them to tell the truth about the war. We're going to assemble at noon at CBS, walk down 6th Avenue to NBC, walk across the street to CNN and Time, a couple of blocks downtown to Fox. We'll make a quick stop at the Bertelsmann headquarters. We will then go past ABC News. We'll stop at that annoying military recruiter right in the center of Times Square and let them know that we don't like what they're doing either. And then continue on to Reuters, the New York Times, and end up in front of MTV and Viacom. And at each stop, we're going to have a different speaker appeal both to the public and to the media executives inside and let them know who we are and why we're there. And we will then follow it up at 6 o'clock with a series of silent vigils that will be held during the evening newscast at places like CNN, CBS, and NBC.
Well, I think this is great. There's also some action in Los Angeles. We'll run that down in the next segment in case some of our listeners want to get active and head to L.A. tomorrow, or maybe some of you are already there. I know we've got some listeners, Michelle in Cyprus and a few others in Southern California. So you can get more information at mediachannel.org/mediaprotest. That's where I found it. And if you log on there, you'll be able to find it for yourself. If you have a question or comment about the role of the media in our current crisis, get on the line right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast, toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. We'll continue with Rory O'Connor from MediaChannel.org in just a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of a 2006 Nissan Titan 4x4 pickup truck. This is a beefy, deluxe pickup that claims the largest interior of any half-ton truck. Think of it as an SUV with a short bed for cargo. The Titan is powered by a muscular 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 and has a 5-speed automatic with on-the-fly 4-wheel drive. We put the Titan to work with a load of firewood, and it performed beautifully as we hauled it up the steep obstacle course we call my driveway. At the same time, the sheer size of the Titan made for a tight fit in narrow places. Inside, it's roomy and well-appointed, with all the gadgets you'd expect. Power seats, windows and locks, a high-powered sound system, and a backup alarm that's handy with a truck this size. By the numbers, the Nissan Titan 4x4 gets 14 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for just under $40,000. 48 minutes past the hour, we're talking about a week of action to alert people about the failure of our media and to try to goad the media into doing their job properly. We're talking with Rory O'Connor. Yes, he is a media man. He's a co-founder of MediaChannel.org, and they've hooked up with people all over the country for this day of media, or actually a week of media action, leading up to the protest marches that will occur nationwide this Saturday. I know there's one planned for Washington, D.C., and one for San Francisco as well. And, Rory, there's also on tomorrow, around noontime, in Los Angeles, the media action is going to be focused at CBS, at Channel 2 News there in Hollywood.
That's right, 11 a.m. tomorrow, 6121 West Sunset Boulevard, right in front of CBS 2 News. And you can join the American Friends Service Committee and the Interfaith Communities of United for Justice and Peace and get out there in a protest that will, appropriately enough, have a funereal theme, complete with a coffin and an elegy. And the protesters are encouraged to wear a black or funeral attire, I think for obvious reasons. I also want to mention, even though I don't know that any of your listeners will be able to attend, there is also a large protest happening in Chicago on Wednesday at Well, and that one will be against Fox News, and there are, you know, smaller actions in smaller places everywhere from, including Rhinebeck, New York, up in the upper Hudson Valley. So, you know, whether you're in a big city or you're out in the boondocks, there's no reason not to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see these cases of the way the media is operating on almost a daily basis. And I'll just share this one because it's fresh from yesterday. You know that Russ Feingold, senator from Wisconsin, courageously went to the Senate floor and called for the censure of President Bush. Well, we carry the CBS Hourly News on KRXA in Monterey. And Harley Carnes was the anchor reporting this. And he opened the story about Russ Feingold by saying that it didn't have much of a chance. So he editorialized.
Right.
And,
how is that news reporting?
And sensitized the listener to the fact that what he was about to tell them was a lost cause.
Well, let's look back in history. You know, those of us of a certain age remember in 1972, I was up in Massachusetts. It was the only state out of 50 that voted for a fellow named George McGovern. President Nixon carried the country 49-1. 2 years later, he was sent packing. So if history is our guide, what's impossible today is the future as early as tomorrow. That's what I would say about that. But this is editorializing, of course. And I want to mention something else that people can do right now. I'm having a little fun on my blog, and it's also appearing on Alternet and on Media Channel. I originally had an interview set up with the president of CNN, Jonathan Klein, who, full disclosure, is someone I used to work with back in the day at 48 Hours on CBS News.
Mm-hmm.
Klein agreed to an interview and then said, well, he's too busy to be interviewed, but why don't I send him some questions? So I wrote up 20 questions for CNN and Jonathan Klein. And not only did I send them to Mr. Klein, but I also posted them. And I posted them along with a email link right on my blog at RoryO'Connor.org, if people are interested, where if you have questions relating to CNN's war coverage, simply click on questioncnn at mediachannel.org or questioncnn at alternet.org and send me your question for Jonathan Klein at CNN. In a couple of days, we're going to post the readers' questions for Jonathan Klein as well. And then a few days after that, we'll see what Mr. Klein has to say in his own behalf.
I don't have time to email one in. Can I just give it to you here?
Please. I'm writing as we speak.
Would you please replace Nancy Grace with actual hard news coverage about the war in Iraq? Because the way they try to exploit the crime du jour is so offensive, and her voice just grates on me. I mean, it's hard enough to look at her, but when she starts talking...
I don't want to comment on what she looks like, but yes, she does have an annoying voice and an annoying show, frankly. But, you know, she's just one in a long current series of hires. Let's not forget, Bill Bennett has just been brought on CNN as a commentator, the fellow who said that, his best idea for reducing crime was to abort all the black babies in America.
Well, let's be fair. He was badly quoting Freakonomics when he mangled that. And I agree, it was a very poor taste comment for him to make. But
I don't think you get rewarded, with a multi-$100,000 contract on CNN for going around making boneheaded comments like that. I mean, frankly, if you want to get rid of the crime entirely, you could just abort all the babies, you know. I mean, I can be just as stupid as Bill Bennett, but I'm not on CNN.
Well, get a gambling problem, and we'll see what we can do for you, Bert. And write some books, about morality.
Yes,
vice and how you're virtue. Holier than the rest of us. Now, one other thing I wanted to mention while we're dissing CNN is they have recently started chasing MSNBC on the weekends with these hour-long replays of crime stories. They had one over the weekend about the 26 hours that hostage spent in the Atlanta courthouse.
Right.
And, you know, these are not news. This is packaged infotainment that is, research-driven, and it's aimed at trying to attract an audience, anybody, any set of eyeballs, because when you're flipping across there and you see a reenactment of a crime or you see, the testimony of a tearful victim, there's pathos there.
Well,
but it's not news.
If it's crime that sells, I have a few crimes that they could cover. How about war crimes? How about crimes against humanity? How about corruption crimes by Halliburton? There's lots of crime stories involved in this war of Iraq. So, they have to get ratings. I understand that if crime is going to get them ratings, it's just what crime they cover that I object to.
Allison Humboldt, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show and say hello to Rory O'Connor.
Okay.
Hi, Alice.
Hi. We fully intend to be as well represented at the Saturday Peace March as any other county or city for our population. Not all the press will be able to pretend that it hasn't happened.
Well, that's nice to know, Alice.
Are you
sending a contingent to San Francisco, or will there be street actions in Humboldt County?
We'll be going to be busy.
You are?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't rain like it did last year.
Well, that would be a nice break.
Well,
yeah,
I hope
sure
it doesn't
would.
Too, Alice, but
okay.
I suspect
have
from what I hear in your voice that if it pours, you're going to be there nonetheless. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Alice,
good Lord willing.
Alice is indestructible. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, Rory, what else is going on in terms of creative ways that people are trying to draw attention to the media failures?
Well, one thing that I know that they don't like is to be made fun of. So, another way is with a little bit of satire. If people can come up, as you said, I think the key word here is creative. Because, as we know, the media always is looking for something that's fun, that's entertaining, and for something new. So if they're presented with something and, the assignment desk can say, well, this is the same old story, it's the third year, they're still protesting the war. We have to find a way to cut through that miasma a little bit, and I think your choice of the word creative is really the way to go. Now, I don't have any particular creative suggestions beyond the ones that we've already outlined on the media channel, but I would love to hear some of them either via email or from your viewers.
Well, I've hung out there on Avenue of the Americas where the CNN has the Fishbowl Studio on the street there. And to my mind, Keith Olbermann, while he is not a perfect vessel, has done some courageous reporting about the war, about the stolen election in Ohio, and about a number of other issues that have made him unpopular with the corporate suits and with the Republicans in power. So maybe it'd be fun to get some Keith Olbermann faces and have people strap them on and then stand in the window behind Soledad O'Brien in the morning.
Well, that's a pretty good idea. Keith obviously is on MSNBC and one of the bright lights on MSNBC, which frankly hasn't been much better on the issue than CNN or Fox. The only difference is hardly anybody watches MSNBC, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Another way would be to get Cindy Sheehan masks and have people wear them for those brief weather shots that they do for the Today Show outside of Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, and also, as I said, having a protest that has a funereal theme, for example, this is imaginative, and it also makes a statement at the same time. I mean, I think people can have a little fun with this, even though it obviously is a very serious issue, but as a way to just draw attention to the issue and have an opportunity to have, our perspectives on what's going on and what's wrong be given a little more voice than they have in the past.
I think it's great. Rory, thank you for taking this on. My my congratulations to you, Danny Schechter, and the whole team at MediaChannel.org.
Well, thanks. It's always a pleasure to be on. And the only thing I would encourage is if people want more information, just go right to the MediaChannel.org homepage and start from there.
Thank you, Rory.
Thank you.
That's Rory O'Connor. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Endangered Species Act, which is an endangered species right here. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A CBS News exclusive, more troops for Iraq.
Putting troops in instead of taking them out does not look or sound like progress.
An angry judge hobbles the prosecution of Zacharias Moussaoui.
This is about the worst thing the judge could have done short of ending the case outright.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The talk lately has been about reducing the number of U.S. troops in Iraq, but CBS News correspondent David Martin has learned the number will be increased slightly, at least in the short term.
With 133,000 American troops already in Iraq, an armored battalion of about 700 soldiers kept on standby in Kuwait is moving into Iraq to provide additional security over the next several weeks. U.S. officials say General George Casey asked for more troops because of a convergence of events and danger surrounding the third anniversary of the American invasion.
There's continuing sectarian bloodshed. The bodies of at least 87 people, many of them shot execution style, were found in Baghdad today. And an official of the Iraqi Interior Ministry says authorities have foiled a major al-Qaeda plot. According to this official, more than 400 fighters had been recruited to pose as Iraqi soldiers and attack the heavily fortified Green Zone, storming the U.S. and British embassies and taking hostages. Several ranking defense ministry officials have been arrested in connection with the plot. Now this.
Jane is 50 years old, just took up golf. She's got great form. Takes her 6-iron.
Oh, Leonard, stop using that voice.
Sorry.
Centrum Silver multivitamins keep up with your game. Centrum Silver's age-adjusted formula includes high levels of B vitamins, which emerging science suggests may help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease.
She sunk the putt. The crowd goes wild.
What crowd?
Centrum Silver, adjusted for your age. Take with low-saturated fat, low-cholesterol diet. Research is ongoing and inconclusive, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. When you were a kid, you loved the fun side of Welch's grape juice. You know, the big grape taste, the purple mustache? Well, it turns out there's a surprising side to Welch's, too, because studies have shown that Welch's 100% grape juice is actually good for your heart. Made from deep purple Concord grapes with no added sugar, Welch's is packed with natural antioxidants, twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
Gunning for the death penalty in the case of al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui, the government may have shot itself in the foot. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the outcome of today's hearing by federal judge Leonie Brinkema.
The judge was clearly appalled by the actions of a government lawyer in the Transportation Security Administration who violated court orders and coached witnesses, but wouldn't go along with defense requests to rule out the death penalty. She did punish prosecutors severely, though, knocking out half their case. All testimony to argue the FAA could have stopped 9/11 if Moussaoui had talked and they knew what to look for. But the government, which is appealing, can still argue steps would have been taken elsewhere and try to make their case that Moussaoui can be properly blamed for all the deaths on 9/11. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Analysis from CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen.
anytime you get several important witnesses knocked out of the case, anytime you're not allowed to talk about an issue that is central to the elements you have to prove, you are in trouble. And yet that's exactly what happened to federal prosecutors. A whole part of their case now has been kicked out from under them because of their own wrongdoing.
The trial is in recess till Monday.
And I'm Mike Wallace. After 38 years and hundreds of stories on 60 Minutes, today's story is about me.
Mike Wallace announced today that as he approaches his 88th birthday, he's decided it's time to retire.
You know, your ears aren't what they used to be, your eyes, your memory, and the thought of getting on more airplanes. That's a pain in the back.
Wallace is one of the original correspondents on 60 Minutes. He's famous for aggressive, hard-hitting interviews and told me today that his most memorable was this encounter with Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini shortly after Americans had been taken hostage in Tehran.
President Sadat of Egypt, a devoutly religious man, a Muslim, says that what you are doing now is, quote, a disgrace to Islam. And he calls you, Imam, forgive me, his words, not mine, a lunatic.
That, he said, got the Ayatollah's attention. Mike Wallace says he'll still be available for occasional assignments. He's been given the title Correspondent Emeritus. Space shuttle flights will not resume till July at the earliest. NASA says Shuttle Discovery has a faulty fuel tank sensor, so the tentative May launch date isn't feasible. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
But I'm so cold. Let's go to my house for Ovaltine Hot.
All right, Ovaltine Hot, come on.
The kids will be back soon. Let's make them rich chocolate Ovaltine Hot.
Great idea.
Dave's mom's making
creamy, chocolatey Ovaltine Hot.
Yeah.
Oh, Ovaltine's made with milk.
Yeah, so Ovaltine tastes creamy. And it's full of vitamins and minerals. Swiss Miss and Nestle Hot Cocoa aren't.
Mom, we're here. Who wants Ovaltine Hot?
Me.
Let's make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold in his new regular slot on our program. He's the investigative reporter who's working hard on the Karl Rove leak gate. And he's got an interesting story about a guy who got the same treatment from the same team. He was a whistleblower back in Bush 1, and the Cheney crew took him out in a brutal manner. His name is Richard Barlow. You'll get the full story from Jason Leopold in about half an hour. Next hour, our weekly report from Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She has filed a case against Grover Norquist, and her organization, Crew, is now getting some pushback from the Republican right. We'll open up the free speech zone about 5:15. There's plenty to talk about. More troops heading into Iraq. It's just a few hundred, but that's not good news. Joining me now is Dr. Barry Noon. He's an expert on endangered species, and he has been working in forest management in the Pacific Northwest, one of the many scientists involved in the attempt to bring a scientific basis to management of the forest. His specific contribution was research on the life history and population dynamics of spotted owls, which makes him a member of Richard Pombo's enemies list. Barry Noon, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for joining us. And have you ever had any interaction with Richard Pombo? He, of course, considers the Endangered Species Act to be something that he wants to make extinct.
I've not met him directly. I have met with his staff. This past June, I made a trip to D.C. to do a number of congressional visits to talk about the Endangered Species Act. And I had about an hour-long visit with his staff on that occasion.
And did you get a sense that they were interested in your input or simply conducting a meeting so they could say, yeah, we met with him?
Well, they were certainly relatively polite. I didn't detect a great deal of interest in what I had to say. I tried to point out to them what I thought were mischaracterizations of the Endangered Species Act and its weaknesses, which had been posted on the House Resources website. Mm-hmm. But subsequent to my visit, I never observed any changes in that website to present what I thought was a more balanced perspective on the Endangered Species Act.
And so from your perspective as a supporter of the principle of protecting endangered species, do you believe that the act could use some touching up? Are there some portions of it that you would concede could be fixed or amended to make the process smoother and a little bit less difficult for some of the people who are on the receiving end of it?
Yeah, it definitely could be improved. And I think it could be improved in two major areas. One is to reduce what I would call the transactional costs of complying with the Endangered Species Act. And that is particularly relevant to private landowners who are engaged in the habitat conservation planning process. And often that's a very prolonged process, and I think that it would benefit by being streamlined and also by having additional Fish and Wildlife Service personnel so that the process would go more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The second area, and this is part of Pombo's bill, is to have a positive incentives program for private landowners to engage in species protections. I don't think that the program that he's outlined is the appropriate one, which in my opinion is essentially an entitlement program, that is paying people to comply with the law. But I do think that elements of what he proposed are certainly desirable.
So I understand your point, because from what I've read of the Pombo proposal, it seems kind of open-ended that a landowner could claim that because of a designation for an endangered species, that their property is no longer valuable, and then they could present incredible claims of what the property could be worth were it not for the endangered species designation. And so if it could be kept in the realm of reality, I would be okay with it. But if somebody says, well, I was planning to build a theme park here, and it would be worth, you know, this 50 acres would be worth $100 million, that's something that's pretty far-fetched, hard to prove. But the way Pombo has written the law, it appears that a claim like that might actually be sustained.
That appears to be the case. I don't claim any expertise in the law. However, I have talked to some of my colleagues, particularly John Kostiak, who's the head legal counsel for National Wildlife Federation, and Michael Bean, who has a similar position in environmental defense, who have done a detailed analysis of the Pombo bill. And both of them have also argued in litigation on Endangered Species Act and suggest that your interpretation is the correct one.
And the other fundamental issue is that people like Pombo, who embrace the so-called wise use movement, appear to be... They seem to have this sense that it is our destiny to use up the resources that are on the planet. And some of them take a kind of biblical directive in that zone, not all. And so it seems to be the flip side of what we believe conservatism meant when it came to conserving our resources and our environment. So isn't there a fundamental conflict from the point of view that Pombo and his supporters originate from?
Well, certainly it conflicts with my perspectives and certainly my understanding of the principles of conservation as they were put forward by Teddy Roosevelt. Also, as a parent, I find it very difficult to embrace any sort of Armageddon perspective. It's not a science-based issue. For me, it's a moral issue. It seems that it's quite irresponsible on my part to, in a sense, degrade environmental resources, to use up key environmental resources that some of which are effectively non-renewable, and to project those costs onto my children and my grandchildren and my colleagues' children. So it's interesting that they argue from presumably a religious perspective, from what I perceive to be sort of an amoral outcome.
Mm-hmm. And so where do you see this battle shaping up? Pombo is very powerful. Republicans control the House and the Senate. It does appear that he can shepherd his legislation through the committee and through the House. It's probably tougher to call in the Senate.
Yeah, well, I think myself and along with the larger scientific community are fairly concerned about what's going to happen to species protections. And our concerns are probably more pronounced now than they've ever been in the past, both because of what appears to be the reality of undermining species protections, but also since the Endangered Species Act was passed over 30 years ago, there's been amazing accumulation of evidence of the relevance of maintaining species and intact ecosystems to human welfare. So at the same time in which the scientific foundation of insights and information argues for increasing species protections, we're actually moving in the opposite direction.
We're talking with Dr. Barry Noon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And look, a bald eagle just flew in to say hi to you. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about the Endangered Species Act and the way that Richard Pombo wants to gut it, I'd like to hear from you. Get on the phone right now. Central Coast, it's a local call at 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. If you're listening on KGOE in Eureka or on your computer anywhere within the sound of my voice, call us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Certified seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 419, and Denise at Metro Traffic has the details.
Well, thank you kindly. We're going to start off in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Empire Grade Road at Felton Empire Road. Watch out for an accident there. A tree fell on top of a vehicle. Power lines are also down in the lane. CHP and PG&E crews are desperately trying to get that cleaned up. In the meantime, the lanes are blocked. You may want to find an alternative route. In Carmel, crews are on hand working on a very small problem. Disabled vehicle, left lane was blocked. They have dragged that off to the right shoulder. Monterey County Highway 68 east of Corral de Terra Road. There was also an accident on the right shoulder there earlier. Two vehicles involved. That has been cleaned up. A little bit of residue of traffic. Watch out for some brake lights. And up in the Sierras, if you're heading out of town, watch out for chains are required on I-80 between Applegate and the state line. Traffic is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, right now your participating Genuine Toyota Service Center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchase.
It's 20 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. And we continue our conversation with Dr. Barry Noon regarding Richard Pombo's plans to eviscerate key elements of the Endangered Species Act and really change the fundamental basis for it from protecting endangered species or habitat to protecting private property and the people who inhabit it. And certainly there will always be tensions between those two dynamics, those two elements. But this is a fundamental sea change. And Barry Noon, when you take a look at who the contributors are to Richard Pombo's campaign committees, and he has his own committee plus political action committees, it is heavily weighted to the industries that would benefit from a relaxation of the Endangered Species Act and related legislation. And so it's not too hard to connect the dots and see why this is taking place.
Yeah, I've read those things as well. I mean, I can't comment beyond what I've read in media reports. One of the things, Peter, that I think is a key issue here that, in a sense, arises above the political shenanigans that seem to be so commonplace today, is to somehow get the individual person on the street asking themselves about the relevance of species and nature in general to their quality of life. And I think somehow we eventually are going to have to move the discussion to the public in order to have any chance of turning back this political storm that's undermining not just the Endangered Species Act, but environmental regulations in general, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, National Forest Management Act. It's been sort of an across-the-board attack on environmental regulations in the last 5 or 6 years.
Indeed, it certainly has. And many of us, and I don't want to try to push you into a political position that you don't feel comfortable in, Barry, but many of us were relieved last week at the resignation of Gail Norton as Secretary of the Interior. And she has presided over an agency that is supposed to protect the properties that are under her department's jurisdiction and to, in a wise and prudent manner, utilize the resources, timber, mining, other resources that might be located on federal property, these federal lands. And, you know, she brought in people who have serious conflicts of interest. Stephen J. Griles was her undersecretary who came from the resource extraction industry. He'd been a lobbyist for those groups, and he's now tied to Jack Abramoff in some of the issues that are emerging in that investigation. So we've seen what I call the wrecking crew, the politicization of these cabinet-level agencies that are intended to protect and preserve the things under their jurisdiction. And under this administration, that has been turned on its ear, similar to the proposal from Congressman Pombo related to the Endangered Species Act.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me comment from a science perspective, which is the only area that I feel that I have particular expertise. And in the context of what you've said, one of the things that I think is most relevant about the Endangered Species Act and the information that's provided by looking at how many species, who those species are, and the rate at which they're listed, is they're telling us a lot about how we humans are interfacing with the environment. So if we were to look at the listing, the current approximately 1,300 species that are listed as threatened or endangered, and we were to divide them into two broad groups of the animals, of those with backbones, the vertebrates, those without backbones, the invertebrates, and then ask, what are the characteristics of the species that are listed? And what we see within the vertebrates, it's primarily fishes, and in the invertebrates, it's clams and mussels and snails. And the things that they have in common is the requirement for unpolluted water and water that's available year-round. So right away, that list is telling us, in my opinion and other scientists, that we have a pending crisis. It's particularly pronounced in the western states where I live, of water. And the species are simply acting as surrogates, telling us how we are affecting the environment. And those effects are ultimately going to have human welfare consequences.
So I wonder if you could give us a current example, and Dr. Noon, just for your info, we're on two radio stations, one on the Monterey Peninsula and one in Eureka, which, uh-huh, of course, covers the Headwaters Forest and the redwoods in the northern part of the state. So I wonder if you might give us a quick example in each region of species that are currently listed and what the impact would be if Pombo's legislation is ultimately enacted.
Okay, well, let me use an example that's quite controversial here in the Front Range, the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And that is a small mouse called the Preble's Meadow Jumping Mouse. And it is a riparian, a streamside obligate species. And it's been very, very controversial, and in fact, Richard Pombo, a little over a year ago, even had a special hearing in the House Resources Committee on this mouse. Now, from my perspective, when I look at the mouse, I think of it far beyond what it is as an individual species, but I look at where on the landscape it occurs. And it occurs in watersheds, in streamside zones. And if we were to pick an ecosystem that has the greatest biological diversity in the western U.S., it would be along our streams and rivers. Mm-hmm. And the information I just gave you about fishes and mollusks being listed, it is the most threatened ecosystem type. So, in fact, when we protect the watershed for the Preble's mouse, there are literally hundreds of other species that are benefiting from that protection. And we're also benefiting by sustaining a resource that's essential for human well-being, that is water systems, seasonal availability of water, and water that's not polluted. And these are areas that also have unbelievable recreational potential. Mm-hmm. So my concern is the discussion has always been about an obscure mouse. The discussion has not occurred in the larger context of what it means to conserve that mouse and the habitat on which it depends, and how that larger protection has many, many, many benefits beyond the direct benefits to the mouse itself.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, thank you for joining us today. It's been very helpful, and I hope that our struggle ultimately will be successful, or at least we'll be able to neutralize the most extreme elements of Pombo's proposals.
Well, I hope so, too, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Dr. Barry Noon. Coming up next, Jason Leopold joins us on the program this week. He's going to introduce us to Richard Barlow, the predecessor of Joe Wilson, a whistleblower. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Everybody ready?
Let's do it.
Thirty-three minutes past the hour. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're in your car, this is the opportunity to pull up at that intersection, roll down your windows, and let my bass compete with some hip-hop bass from the car next to you. Here, turn it up. Turn it up.
Crank it up. Come on.
Yes, some people with high-powered sound systems share their music just a little too much, wouldn't you say?
Let's do the wild thing.
Coming up next hour, Melanie Sloan in her weekly visit on the program. She has complained to the IRS about the tax status of Grover Norquist's alleged nonprofit organization. And a little payback from the right wing, Melanie's organization, CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, is under investigation by the IRS. These are wonderful times in America. And Jason Leopold tracks down some of the key stories that matter most to us. He's an investigative reporter who did a great job on the energy crisis here in California. He's the author of a new book called News Junkie that we'll talk about a little bit later on. And he has, he should have better judgment, but he's agreed to become a regular, a weekly regular here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Doing great today. How about you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me back on.
My pleasure.
I'm happy to join you every week.
Well, I'm delighted. And every week you manage to break news that makes us look good here on the radio program.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of things out there. So, you know, I try.
Well, you today have sent me an article that hasn't been published yet, but it will be out presumably at truthout.org in a couple of days.
And it's quite fascinating. I spent the past month investigating this, and it's about a former intelligence officer whose name is Richard Barlow. He had worked during the first Bush administration under then Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney. He was actually the very first intelligence officer to work in the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually credited with exposing the Pakistan nuclear proliferation issues that went on during the time, as well as exposing the AQ Khan network. And AQ Khan is the Pakistani nuclear physicist who, a couple of years ago, I think it was actually maybe 2 years ago, we found out that he was selling secrets, nuclear secrets, on the black market to Iran, Libya, and North Korea.
Oh, indeed. And AQ stands for Abdul Qadir.
Correct.
And he is seen as the father of the Pakistani nuclear weapon. We have to Bush speak here.
Yeah.
And I am still spinning in my little chair here, Jason, that Colin Powell went to Pakistan. He was still Secretary of State.
Right.
Just a few days after AQ Khan had submitted his retirement request to the government of Pervez Musharraf. And because he is so widely viewed as a hero in Pakistan, the Pakistani government permitted him to retire, and he's living comfortably in a dacha somewhere, or the Pakistani equivalent of a dacha, and he has really paid no price for what we now know to be extensive nuclear proliferation, and some of the materials that he shipped to nations that desire nuclear capabilities, like North Korea, Iran, and at the time, we think maybe Libya, were transshipped through the Arab Emirates and Dubai.
That's
so
correct.
It's very interesting to see how history tends to repeat itself. And what you're about to tell us here is that Richard Barlow experienced the kind of smear and an end to his career that Cheney and his little cabal have wished on Ambassador Joe Wilson.
That's correct. And it's quite fascinating. The story of Richard Barlow, obviously precedes Joe Wilson. And what's fascinating is that the same individuals in the Bush administration right now who are alleged to have played a major part in the smear campaign against Joe Wilson, that's Stephen Hadley, Scooter Libby, and Karl Rove, but specifically Scooter Libby and Stephen Hadley, as well as Eric Adelman. Eric Adelman is a guy that was that's been Libby's deputy for the past 15 years. And these guys, back during the first Bush administration, were involved in a smear campaign against Richard Barlow. And simply because Richard Barlow had accused these officials of lying to Congress about the nuclear threat with regard to Pakistan.
Well, and there seem, from your article, Jason, I pick up two threads. One is that they pretended that Pakistan had not yet developed a nuclear weapon when, in fact, it had.
Right.
And they pretended that fighter jets that the U.S. was about to sell to Pakistan, and that was what was on the table when this congressional testimony was given, the testimony was offered that these planes were not fitted to carry or drop nuclear bombs.
That's correct. And Barlow had produced intelligence reports since 1986. In fact, he had apprehended two of AQCON's agents at the time, and he had found out that his intelligence reports were rewritten behind his back in order for the Defense Department to follow through on the sale of a $1.6 billion sale of F-16 fighter jets to Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him after that is just extraordinary. He has spent the past 16 years fighting the government to pass a private relief bill in his name, because it was later found out that he was fired because he was when he suggested that Congress know that they are being lied to, he was immediately branded a whistleblower. And by doing that, the Defense Department and the first Bush administration was able to say that this is all classified material. He's going to reveal, Barlow would reveal classified information. So he wasn't even allowed to know what he was, the reasons that he was being fired.
Well, that's the detail that really got me, Jason, is the spookiness of what happens to a spook when they
yeah.
fire you.
Yeah.
So, you know, they said, hey, we're done with you. Clean out your desk and go down to personnel and sign some papers and you can get your last check.
Exactly.
And the papers they wanted him to sign would have caused him to give up his security clearances.
That's correct. And, what happened, it's just unbelievable when you see documents and we've been corresponding and working together I've been interviewing him for the past month. And when you see in these documents years later, how Inspector General reports, how federal judges have actually written opinions saying that officials like Dick Cheney, like Scooter Libby, like Stephen Hadley had actually lied and wrongfully discredited this person and made horrible accusations against him, such as, being a tax evader, an adulterer, an alcoholic, which actually led to the, dissolution of his marriage. And so for 16 years, he has been trying to clear his name. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, though, is that he had his warnings, his early warnings and intelligence reports on Pakistan. Had they listened to it and taken action at the time, we probably wouldn't see the kind of issues that we're seeing right now with regard to Iran.
Yeah. No, it is stunning when you see the way Cheney and his group have
yeah.
operated consistently. In Bush 1, when Cheney was Secretary of Defense, and now in Bush 2, as he's a very powerful, testosterone-pumped-up vice president, there is a pattern here, and they're quite consistent.
It is.
It really comes down to this, that if somebody gets in their way, they crush them like a bug.
Yeah, and it's amazing the parallels between the Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame, and Richard Barlow case. Here we have, it's interesting because, as you know, right now, with regard to Joe Wilson, they were saying that Iraq has possibly has weapons of mass destruction. With Pakistan, they were actually saying, no, they don't have anything like that.
Yeah, they continue to certify them as non-proliferators and
right.
non-members of the nuclear club.
Right. So the unfortunate part is that hundreds and pages of documents that have come out to support Barlow and people who have testified before Congress on his behalf, the private relief bill could not be passed because the federal judge in the case is still saying that, well, this material is secret. We can't release anything to Congress because it's still secret, even though he has been in some respect, exonerated. But
former Senator Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico carried legislation to reinstate his retirement and other benefits and pay him compensation of $1 million-plus.
Right.
But that legislation has gone nowhere.
The legislation has gone nowhere. It's been going on for years. And what's really sad is that he has been in contact with Senator Lieberman for quite a while. And it appeared as if Lieberman was going was going to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
However, what happened was is that Lieberman actually said, "I think you should write the president." Lieberman has really been showing his true colors lately. And
did he say, "My good friend, the president"?
Yes,
he whose ass I kiss on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just fascinating, and it's just. This is a guy who has so much in common with Joe Wilson. Unfortunately, though, his life has been, to say the least, ruined. He's had a hard time trying to get employment because he has had his security clearances stripped. And, with regard to Pakistan, he really blew the lid off of that whole thing. And then 2 years ago, we see President Bush saying, we got the man. Well, they knew this guy was out there for so long.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other parallels you make, Jason, between Joe Wilson and Barlow is that it appears that those who wanted to smear Barlow, you write here, the reports state that Defense Department officials lied in an attempt to destroy Barlow's career and acted with the specific intent of destroying his marriage. And, of course, by drawing an uninvolved spouse into the Joe Wilson smear attempt, that's a very similar tactic.
It's very similar. And, in fact, Barlow's wife worked for the CIA.
Oh, really?
which is, she was a contractor for the CIA. Valerie Plame worked for the CIA. But this is this has been their MO. And when you start seeing all the similarities between both cases, you realize that this is that the Libby defense, that the defense that he has out there right now with regard to Valerie Plame, it's not a defense. This is something that he's been doing for he's been involved with quite a while. And this small cabal, these neoconservatives who have been attacking anyone who goes against the administration, well, they've demonstrated that they did exactly the same thing 16 years ago.
We're talking with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter. The story we've been discussing is about Richard Barlow. In a few days, you'll be able to read it at truthout.org. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Jason's new book called News Junkie. It's a memoir, and it's real. It's very real. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to join us, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The number's 1-888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
Don't give up the fight.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 4:49, and here's Denise at Metro Traffic.
Thank you. Well, we only have a couple of situations. Starting off in the Monterey County area, collision, no injuries. Meridian Road, just west of Highway 156. Watch out, a couple of vehicles are blocking the roadway. And in the Santa Cruz Mountains, CHP as well as PG&E are still trying to dig out a tree and some power lines that fell on top of a car. This is Empire Grade Road at Felton Empire Road. Traffic has been brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver Multivitamins has essential nutrients which emerging science suggests, along with a healthy diet, may help support heart health. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
Let's try that again. KRXA.
KRXA 540. And
nice.
I'm Denise. How'd I do?
A lot of people get those call letters reversed. I don't know how.
Well, we don't want to do that. KRXA is important.
Beautiful. Thanks, Denise.
You're welcome.
Come on, lighten up out there.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with investigative journalist Jason Leopold. In our preceding segment, we took you back to Bush 1. That was him talking there a second ago. And it reminded me of this powerful piece. It's a tune from Supertramp. And it's the title track from a CD called Brother, Where You Bound. And it goes on for 16 minutes. I won't play it all. But if you ever have a chance to pick it up or find it on iTunes, it is a fascinating trip down memory lane through the late 1980s and the regime of George Herbert Walker Bush. We continue now with Jason Leopold, and we're joined by Everett in Crescent City. Welcome, Everett. You're on the air.
Hey, great to talk to you. I'm Jason. I think you're really at the cutting edge of a lot of this stuff with the Cheney-Libby situation that's going on. I'm just waiting for the major media to try to get some of the same information out to people. I had a couple questions, though. First one is that when Cheney and his cabal were responding in March of 2003, or trying to mount a preemptive strike on Wilson, what information did they have and what actually was prompting them to do that? Because Cheney claims that he never got a report back from the CIA that indicated Wilson was directly involved. So, but they had to have some information that he had a negative bent with the information that he had gotten when he went to Niger.
Sure.
And the second question is when you were on before.
Everett, hold on. Yeah. Remember your second question, but this is a good one. So let's answer this one, and then we'll get to your other question.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, first off, what prompted this... this response was a couple of things. First, Joe Wilson had actually started to appear on the administration's radar at the time. He was interviewed on CNN, and at this time, nobody knew that he was the special envoy who traveled a year earlier, you know, to Niger to investigate the uranium claims. But his response to the administration's intelligence regarding Niger and how those 16 words got into the President's State of the Union address. He was so passionate in how obvious that it was that this could never have happened. And he actually used the word stupid. This is stupid, describing the intelligence and the fact that, you know, they included it in there. And he alluded to the fact that he knew something that... you know, that the administration wasn't being forthcoming about. So in March, he started to appear on various news programs, you know, and was basically one of the, you know, first people to, you know, to come out and actually say that these claims about Iraq trying to buy uranium from Niger were totally false. And in addition to that, Mohammed El-Baradei, who is the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, had called into question the veracity of these, you know, these documents, which the intelligence was based upon. So, They were starting to do some damage control there because the war was just a couple of weeks away.
Right. Now, the actual forged letters, though, when did those come into possession of United States people?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The forged letters were from 2002.
Yeah. 2002,
yeah,
okay.
From 2002.
Some media reports claim that Joe Wilson could never have seen them, that they didn't show up until 2003 or 2004 and all this kind of stuff.
Well, he didn't comment directly on those forged documents. That wasn't his purview.
Okay.
Yeah, right. He was basically saying what he was saying at the time when he was interviewed. And if you go back and look at some of these transcripts, the transcripts from CNN and just the cable news broadcast, you could sense that, you know, Joe Wilson was really passionate about what he was saying. He actually believed that the public and Congress was being misled, that the administration was knowingly lied to the American people, and when it's saying that Iraq was trying to obtain uranium from Niger.
Everett, what was your other question?
Okay, my other question is, when you were on before, Jason, you mentioned that you had no evidence. You certainly were not convinced that President Bush knew anything about this particular plot. But when Bush cleared Cheney to declassify information,
right,
that occurred sometime in March of 2003, right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, when I say that I don't have evidence that Bush was involved, I actually am just saying that I don't have any. And I've tried to do my best to see if there was any possible way that that the president was in the know of what was taking place behind the scenes. And yes, it's true that March 23rd, 2003, the document was signed by President Bush. That was 4 days after the start of the war, authorizing Cheney. It's ambiguous. I mean, it's saying that he can declassify intelligence information. Cheney interprets that his own way. I think that's still an issue to discuss.
Well, on Doug Thompson's site, he had mentioned that there was a period of time where Bush was angry, particularly at Rove, and knew something about who had leaked the stuff, and actually had an emotional explosion at Rove sometime in 2003.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a very good question, and basically this is what it comes down to. In October of 2003, around the time that the White House was facing a deadline to have all of their employees, anyone who had corresponded or discussed Joe Wilson or Valerie Plame Wilson, turn over emails, the president and his press secretary, Scott McClellan, publicly cleared Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and at the time it was Elliot Abrams who was named. And what they and what Bush actually said was, this is a town full of leakers. I don't think we'll ever find the person who leaked it. He really made it out like there's no way that this person's ever going to be found out. A lot of people sort of assume that at that very point in time, October 2003, that the president probably knew something. I haven't been able to obtain any information that would suggest that.
Okay. All right. Well, keep up the good work.
All right, Everett. You're very well informed. I love calls like that, so thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Everett.
Call us again. Jason, just a minute or so remaining, and so I'm going to reserve some of my comments about your book, News Junkie, till we have more time.
Right.
But I want to encourage our listeners to go find the book and read it, because it really was I finished it, so it's in the past tense for me, but it's a powerful look where you pulled back the curtain on your own activities and some of the challenges that you faced while you were reporting and competing heavily with other journalists on the Enron California energy crisis story of 2001-2002.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating look inside your head and your work, and I think that people will benefit from understanding what you went through, and a lot of it is your personal odyssey, but you also wrestled with some ethical concerns and different issues. And what I want to talk about when we have more time next week is the interesting episode where you got one of the Republican commissioners of the Federal Energy Commission, FERC, to basically deny a series of statements that you made so that you could then report what you expected FERC to do, which was not to help California.
Correct.
And I think that's a fascinating episode where, in some ways, you became part of the story.
Yeah, and it's also a question of ethics. And, you know, there's a lot of time has gone by since then, and I've grown a bit, but I'm absolutely, would be happy to talk about that because, yes, I did become part of it.
Yeah, it was very interesting and revealing. We'll talk to you next week, Jason.
Thanks, Peter.
Coming up next, Melanie Sloan, right here.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. There's a lot of worry in Iraq for a lot of reasons. Radicals push hard to deny the dream of democracy, to send the country into sectarian civil war. CBS News National Security Correspondent David Martin.
In the last 24 hours, at least 87 bodies have been found in Baghdad, most shot dead execution style. And Iraq's Interior Ministry has announced it will once again ban private vehicles from Baghdad in an effort to hold down the violence.
A huge pilgrimage is coming this weekend to Karbala, Shiites by the thousands. Officials hope they won't be targets by the thousands. David Martin says General George Casey plans to temporarily add 700 Army troops from Kuwait to the 133,000 already there. Hopes of getting the space shuttle Discovery back into orbit in May have been pushed back again, this time to July at least. Former astronaut Jim Voss says it's another one of those pesky fuel tank sensors.
These sensors are there to tell it that it is getting low on fuel and it's time to shut down so it does it properly. If you don't burn to completion of your fuel, then you won't get to orbit, or you may get to an orbit that is not proper.
NASA is checking to see if there's a manufacturing defect. Are oil company mergers also helping drive up the price of gasoline? CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein says some on Capitol Hill think maybe so.
California Democrat Dianne Feinstein said oil companies are making too much money.
These price increases cannot be explained solely by the increase in the cost of crude oil.
But Republican Mike DeWine of Ohio said the problem is some oil giants take advantage of their size.
It isn't illegal just to be big.
Rex Tillerson, chairman of ExxonMobil, said mergers create efficiencies in a huge market.
For an American company to succeed in this enormous industry, it needs sufficient scale.
It's the only way to compete, he said, in a global marketplace. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Mike Wallace has been on 60 Minutes since day one.
Nobody pushed. There comes a time when you get to be, I'm going to be 88 in May. And that's it's time to go.
He's retiring as a 60 Minutes regular. Call him Correspondent Emeritus. We will. Officials say the Sago coal mine explosion was caused by lightning. Big static touched off a buildup of gas in the mine, idled by the holidays. Today, a heartwarming moment in Morgantown, West Virginia, where surviving miner Randall McCloy went home.
It was a home-cooked lunch, and that was the biggest news that came out of it today, as he had a chance to go home and actually have lunch with his family. We understand that he had had some spinach and had some rice and had an opportunity just to have something that you don't necessarily get at a facility, whether it's a hospital or a hotel or something like that. There's nothing like home-cooked meal.
WOWK TV reporter Rick Dayton, also on the menu, barbecue and macaroni and cheese. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 75 points. NASDAQ closed up nearly 29. This is CBS News.
Every day, your company's computers are being attacked
by spam, spyware, and viruses
designed to invade your business and compromise your privacy.
And there's only one way to stop it.
The Barracuda Network's Spam and Spyware Firewalls. An easy-to-install device that will ensure your business's privacy and safety. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free trial. The Barracuda Network's Spam and Spyware Firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free trial. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Google must turn over some of its internet records to the government. KCBS reporter Mike Colgan says it's a court order.
The amount of data the government is asking for has been scaled back to what's being called a minuscule amount, a random sample of 50,000 web addresses and 5,000 search query data. Google attorney Al Ghadari said of the two, they're more concerned about having to turn over search data.
What people put in their queries does contain personal information. They may ask about a particular sports figure's sexual preferences. They might include their social security number to see if other people are searching for their social security number or it's available on the internet.
The government's position is that they aren't seeking any personal information about the user. Mike Holgan, CBS News, San Jose.
Renters always leave something behind when they move out. Family members went in to clean up their house in Piedmont, Alabama, found two live grenades in the closet. World War II, fragmentation grenade and a smoke grenade. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Jane is 50 years old, just took up golf. She's got great form. Takes her 6-iron.
Oh, Leonard, stop using that voice.
Sorry.
Centrum Silver multivitamins keep up with your game. Centrum Silver's age-adjusted formula includes high levels of B vitamins, which emerging science suggests may help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease.
She sunk the putt. The crowd goes wild.
What crowd?
Centrum Silver, adjusted for your age. Take with low-saturated fat, low-cholesterol diet. Research is ongoing and inconclusive, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. When you were a kid, you loved the fun side of Welch's grape juice. You know, the big grape taste, the purple mustache? Well, it turns out there's a surprising side to Welch's, too, because studies have shown that Welch's 100% grape juice is actually good for your heart. Made from deep purple Concord grapes with no added sugar, Welch's is packed with natural antioxidants, twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live, unscripted. We're live on KRXA 540 Monterey, live on KGOE 1480 Eureka. And we open up the phone lines for the Free Speech Zone coming up just about 10 minutes from now. You can call me at 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Maybe you want to comment on the call for more troops in Iraq. Yes, a general said, Mr. President, we need more troops. And that's what Bush said is all it takes. They're sending 700 new bodies in from Kuwait. And before we get to Melanie Sloan's weekly report, I want to warn everybody that there are a bunch of phony notices being emailed to people that purport to be from the Internal Revenue Service, so be very skeptical. I got three of these emails today, and they're all to different names and different addresses, and they promise a tax refund of a measly $63.80. Now, I can be bought, but it takes a lot more than that. And what happens, I guess, when you reply to this, it's called phishing with a PH, and they get your email address, and then they never let go. So if you get a phony notice from the IRS, just delete it and be skeptical before you reply to any of those kinds of phony emails. Melanie Sloan joins us. She's Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And gosh, Melanie, you've been pretty busy with the IRS yourself.
I am very busy.
Both giving and receiving.
Both giving and receiving. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that this was coming, and now it looks like it's a little closer. The Republicans are asking that my organization, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, be audited.
And just how thrilled are you at this prospect?
Well, thrilled wouldn't be the word, but, you know, I've been expecting it. So yeah. We're prepared for that. And, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I haven't heard from the IRS, but we did hear from the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee saying that we should be audited.
Well, Melanie, you've been very generous with your time on our program and in your work in Washington. And if I could return the favor, I would be happy to. I am a veteran of 4 IRS audits. And
really?
They have the most they ever got out of me was $150.
That's pretty good. You're doing very well. I hope we'll do as well, and I expect we will.
The secret is I go in with my receipts in shoeboxes and just say, sure. What do you want?
And that's exactly what we'll say. We are confident that we don't violate IRS law in any way, and I'm sure that we'll be vindicated if the IRS decides to, in fact, audit us.
Now, a guy like me, because I'm cynical and political, would suspect that this is a politically motivated audit of your nonprofit organization.
Wow. Do you think? Do you think maybe that it's coming from the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee right after we filed a complaint against Rick Santorum with the Senate Ethics Committee? You think they might be related?
Well, it was 2 weeks in a row that we talked about Santorum. So maybe this is his way of saying, I got your message, Melanie.
This is an I love you too.
Yeah. Now, the allegation is that you have only investigated and complained about the activities of Republicans. And I know that that's not true because you have Maxine Waters on your dirty dozen or the 13 most ethically challenged members of Congress. And if I'm not mistaken, you have been actively involved in investigations of Congressman Jefferson from Mississippi, who happens to be a Democrat.
Yes, although he's from Louisiana. But yes,
I'm sorry.
We are, and we've been advocating an investigation of Congressman Jefferson for quite some time, and I feel confident that Congressman Jefferson is going to be indicted in the near future.
Hmm. So it is lopsided.
It's not true.
It is lopsided in that most of the people of your focus have been Republicans, but there's a pretty simple explanation for that. That's where the power is in a one-party town, and they're the people who have the juice. And if anybody wants to see proof, we have a guy named Duke Cunningham who can make that pretty clear.
That's right. As I tell people all the time, you know, you'd be kind of foolish to pay off a Democrat right now. They can't deliver anything.
Yeah. So what is your strategy? You just have to sit and wait for notices to come from the IRS?
That's right. We'll sit and wait for the notices, and then we'll provide all the information. And when we do, the IRS will see that we are, in fact, not violating our tax status in any way. We don't get involved in any political campaigns or political activity, but we go after one issue, ethics. And it doesn't matter what party you are, if you're violating ethics rules or laws, we're going to come after you.
Yeah. Now, the other activity that you undertook that involves the IRS this week is kind of a similar complaint, but it's against the organization run by Grover Norquist. Tell us about it.
That's right. We filed today a complaint against Americans for Tax Reform and Grover Norquist. We've talked about Jack Abramoff a great deal on your show, and Abramoff and Grover Norquist are terrific friends. And one of the things that there was a scheme that went on between Norquist, Abramoff, and former Christian activist Ralph Reed. Basically, Ralph Reed would gin up Christian activists in different areas to get them involved in these anti-gambling campaigns.
Right.
And the reason was to stop competition to Jack Abramoff's tribal clients who had casinos. But Ralph Reed didn't want anybody to know that he was being paid by Indian casinos by gambling money for these anti-gambling campaigns. So what they did was the tribal casinos would give money, make contributions to Americans for Tax Reform. Grover Norquist would skim a little money off the top, and then he'd send the money on to Ralph Reed. And that way, Reed was able to deny knowing that he was receiving gambling money. And he consistently denied that he knew until Senator McCain released a bunch of email during one of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee hearings showing correspondence, email correspondence between Ralph Reed and Jack Abramoff, showing that Reed absolutely knew where the money was coming from.
Now, Melanie, you're the lawyer here, but as I hear you describing that series of transactions, the term racketeering comes to mind.
Well, you know, I wouldn't. It does come to mind because there is money laundering involved. But what really is the problem here is that Grover Norquist violated his tax status. ATR, Americans for Tax Reform, is what we call a 501c4 organization. And we've talked a lot about 501c3s. But 501c4 organizations are organizations that promote the social welfare. And they have to have a social welfare purpose. ATR's social welfare purpose is to promote smaller government and lower taxes. They don't have anything to do with anti-gambling. So when Grover Norquist is basically funneling, serving as a funnel for money to go to Ralph Reed for these anti-gambling campaigns and skimming money off the top, he's actually engaging in activities that have nothing to do with his social welfare purpose, and he's actually behaving as a commercial enterprise. He's taking in a profit, and the IRS could well find that that's a violation of his tax status, and they could either impose penalties, financial penalties. They could tax the income he's received, and if, at worst, they could also revoke his tax status.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine one of the claims he might make is that often the charter for a corporation or a nonprofit is written, and they state the mission of the organization, and then there's a kind of generic or any other purpose deemed by the board of directors or something like that. So does he have any wiggle room in the charitable purpose of ATA, Americans, or ATR?
Yeah. No, he actually doesn't. If he had, they would also look at the sort of the facts and circumstances about what Grover Norquist's organization does. Yeah. And if it had had something to do, if he had ever in the past had some anti-gambling purpose, but, you know, he didn't. In fact, he's sort of the antithesis of laws against gambling because he believes in fewer laws and less government. So here he is, though, funneling money to this anti-gambling activities, but it's really not even about anti-gambling. It's about stopping competition.
Right. Very interesting. Now, Melanie, Grover Norquist has been famously and repeatedly quoted as saying that his goal is to shrink government to the point where they can drown it in the bathtub. Do you have any evidence that Grover Norquist tried to deduct the cost of the bathtub?
But I wouldn't be surprised to see it. And what we're asking the IRS to do is go through all of Grover Norquist's to conduct a financial audit, I mean a forensic audit, and to go through his tax returns and his books and see what was going on with the finances. They also, while they're at it, might want to look at Ralph Reed's taxes to see if he was properly declaring this income he was getting from Grover Norquist.
Right. And Ralph Reed also previously had served as a consultant to Enron. And I'd love to see somebody go through those records and see exactly what kind of work he performed for the consulting fees that he was paid.
Yeah, well, what I think Ralph Reed has shown us is that he is for sale to the highest bidder, and he doesn't really have the principles he claims to have.
Very good point. Melanie, keep up the good work, and good luck with the IRS.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Visit their website to get more information. It's Citizens for Ethics, F-O-R, citizensforethics.org. Coming up next, we go to the phones. It's the Free Speech Zone, and my lines are open for you. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Toll free from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll go to your calls in the next segment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyet every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
KRXA traffic time is 519, and Metro Denise has the latest.
Well, thank you. In Prunedale, we do have an accident. Meridian Road at Highway 156. A vehicle struck a tree and is still blocking lanes. Watch out for CHP on the scene. Crews are still trying to clear up that tree and power lines that are down up in the Empire Grade Road at Felton Empire Road. A tree fell on top of a vehicle. Power lines are also down. They're still trying to get that cleaned up. And in Hollister, Highway 156 at Union Road, an injury accident. A car struck a tree and a power pole, and now that's quite a mess in that area as well. So watch out for the trees today. That seems to be a big problem. Traffic has been brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, right now your participating Genuine Toyota Service Center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchases. Restrictions do apply. See dealer for details. I'm Denise, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
Beautiful. Twenty minutes past the hour, we're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And what that means is, I want you to pick up that fancy cell phone and use it for a good purpose. Use it to extend your free speech rights. You can comment on any issue from any perspective, and you can call me from anywhere, even if you're naked. On the Central Coast, lines are open for you at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA, if you like the letters better. From the North Coast or anywhere else, call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. You got to dial 1 and then 888-579-2540. And if you're using your cell, be sure to push send. Otherwise, nothing happens. And here's a note, an email that came in about an hour ago from Donna in Big Sur. She writes, I'm listening to your guest, Rory O'Connor. The information he's speaking about is so important at this time. I've just finished reading The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin. The information in the book is overwhelming, as well as confirming the thoughts that many Americans share. It seems as if the Cheney Bush cabal has created so many hijinks that it's almost a smokescreen for the original lies that created the 9/11 event and the preemptive strike on Iraq. What is going on with the 9/11 investigating committee? All the Republicans decided that wasn't necessary, Donna. I guess you missed that. I think that the media may have been influenced by the fact that many of the media people who've tried to highlight the truth have either lost their jobs or their reputation. Oh, you mean like Dan Rather? As soon as anybody tries to bring forth the truth, they are described as not in their right minds or endangering national security. And just to add to the list, Dan Rather, and do you remember a woman named Ashley Banfield? She was a rising star in the NBC News organization. And just before we launched our fun little war in Iraq, She was traversing the globe on a daily basis, doing a report from, you know, Pakistan one night and India the next night and all across America. And I thought she had some potential. She was still kind of working on her demeanor and her presentation. But after the war started, they took her off the air. And then about 9 months after the launch of the war, 3 years ago this week, Ashley Banfield gave one speech. I think it was in Kansas or something at a university where she was, you know, mildly critical of the media for its obvious failures in reporting the phony WMD claims and in exposing the real motivation of the Bush administration for this elective war. And I don't know if they put her in the witness protection program or, you know, they gave her a show that's 2 hours after Conan O'Brien. But I've completely lost track of Ashley Banfield, and I think she is a victim of what Donna was just writing about. So if you want to comment on the media and Rory O'Connor and media channels' call for protests against the media in conjunction with the protests against the war that are scheduled for this weekend, I think it's a great 1-2 punch, and you can get more information at mediachannel.org. Now, you may have heard repeatedly President Bush say that politicians in Washington will not make the decisions about the number of troops we put on the ground in Iraq. But if a general in the field, in the theater, asks for more troops, then Bush will honor that request. Well, General Casey has asked for more troops in Iraq because the non-civil war, the sectarian violence, has gotten a little too hard to handle. We have about 133,000 American service members currently in Iraq. And Bush got the request, and he approved it, sort of. 700 troops are being redeployed from Kuwait into Iraq. Now, on the one hand, people could seize that and say, wow, here's the president who's out giving happy talk speeches this week, trying to distract us from the reality of Iraq. And he's committing more troops. It's only a few hundred, but more troops are going in. On the other hand, he will play it as, I didn't make this decision. The generals asked for more troops, and I sent them. But what difference will 700 troops make in a chaotic situation, a civil war like Iraq? Almost none. And contrast that with the speech he gave yesterday, promising for the first time to turn over most of Iraq to newly trained Iraqi troops by the end of this year, setting a specific benchmark. Now, this is the man who has repeatedly refused to put together any kind of meaningful exit plan, has, you know, repudiated the calls from Jack Murtha and others who served, unlike Bush, for such a strategy. And they've been giving us these mixed messages for the last 90 days or so. On the one hand, they tell us that, oh, we're going to stay the course. We got a plan for victory. We're not going to cut and run. We're not going to have a precipitous withdrawal. And then, when it appears advantageous for the president, whose poll numbers are at their lowest ebb, and whose vice president has set a new record for bottoming out in public opinion polls at 18%, now that it suits Bush, he is suggesting that by the end of this year, we will have substantially reduced our troop presence in Iraq. And if so, that's fine with me. That's the goal I seek. But the way this president has operated, it's hard to believe anything that he says. And what's going to happen if he's busy winding down and General Casey says we need to wind up? After all, that's what John McCain has advocated. So I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the president's latest rhetorical offensive. trying to keep Americans on board with his war policy at a time when 80% of the troops over there say that this thing ought to be wrapped up and they ought to be on their way home by Christmas this year. And most Americans concede that our presence there is not helpful and that Iraq is either in the midst of a civil war or on the verge of plunging into it. Where's the truth, Bush? I guess we just don't need to know. He panders to his base, and he flips the bird to the rest of us. We'll go to the phones next, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, toll-free, 888-579-2540. The Peter B. Collins Show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's where you can listen to past shows.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Mazda 6, a sporty four-door hatchback that handles well and gets pretty good mileage. The Mazda 6 is assembled in Michigan. Only the transmission is made in Japan. With a 3-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a 5-speed manual transmission, my demo has plenty of acceleration and power. It's got a full package of power toys, including a power moonroof, Bose sound system, and Sirius satellite radio. I'm impressed with its easy handling and smart design, and by that I mean it's good-looking and well-engineered. Mazda includes a 4-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, so test drive the Mazda 6 before you buy a Camry or an Altima. By the numbers, the Mazda 6 gets about 19 miles per gallon in the city, 27 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Finding answers to questions about a woman's health can be difficult, but the women of Monterey County will soon have an opportunity to get the information they need. I'm Assemblymember Simon Salinas, and I'm sponsoring a Women's Health Summit along with several organizations. This free event will take place from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th at Hartnell College in Salinas. For more details, call my office at 831-759-8676.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're in the free speech zone, and you're welcome to call us at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Our program is streamed on the World Wide Web thing from the website at krxa540.com. You know, www.krxa540.com. Let your friends who live outside the reach of our broadcast signals know that they can listen online. And to your calls now. Tara in Bayside, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing?
Pretty good today, Tara.
So am I.
Well, good.
Well, I have two things. I'll say the second one first.
Okay.
We have to do something about the vote. California.
Hold on a second, Tara. Your verbiage was interrupted there either by call waiting or by Benny at the NSA.
It was. Maybe they'll go away in
and
a second.
Let's just pause for a moment for our daily greeting for Benny, who is assigned the ugly task of monitoring every minute of the Peter B. Collins Show. Hey, Benny. I just like to play that little sound to make the headphones hurt. Okay, Tara, go ahead.
Took them off. Okay, the second thought was that we have to... Can't you find out somebody... I mean, I don't know, what is it, the government? Go away. But that would... That we can call on the voting machines. Because we have to be able to see... Did you hear that?
We have to be able to...
Give somebody a bad time.
Yeah.
And if the more people that can put pressure on, the more possibility there is. I mean, because that whole thing about the machines and we're going to have a meeting and now we're not going to have it.
Right.
And now it's going to be in secret was a setup to get these machines authorized.
Well, Tara, let me take a slightly different tack, mainly because I can't think of a way to do it the way you suggested.
Okay.
Bruce McPherson does not appear to respond to the public on these issues, and so we need to look at a different approach. And I would take the more positive track, not to say that I don't get into negative things, but just a positive approach, which would be to support the candidacy of Deborah Bowen, who is a Democratic state senator, and she is running against Deborah Ortiz in the Democratic primary this June. Now, I haven't spoken to Senator Ortiz, and we will invite her on the program, so I'm not trying to say that she wouldn't do a good job as Secretary of State, but Deborah Bowen has been on our show four or five times and has articulated a clear understanding of the issues, a deep concern for the feelings that you and I have, that these machines can't be trusted and that our votes could be stolen. And so she has distinguished herself in my book as somebody who really cares about these election issues. And if she
is she running for election?
She's running for Secretary of State.
How can she win with a Diebold machine?
Well, fortunately, in California, often Democrats who run statewide, for example, last time, you know, it was a clean sweep. No Republicans won. So, you know, I don't think that we are nearly as at risk as Florida and Ohio, but I understand your suspicion.
Okay, and my second point was, no, we don't plan to leave Iraq. We're building huge bases there. Definitely plan to stay. And there is somebody we sent over there, DePonte or something like that.
Negroponte.
Okay, now he was, and people started dying and all disappearing and factions went against each other. And it's exactly what's happening. We're for men.
Sorry, Tara, they got you that time.
We are fomenting this, and we're going to attack Iran.
Well, I'm not so sure about the Iran thing. I think there is desire on the part of many members of the Bush administration. I don't think they can pull it off in the
boy, I hope not.
Context.
But I hear them building the public up day after day after day, and that's what scares me. You get enough public opinion behind that silly thing, and we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, how about this dream scenario, Tara?
We
set up a phony occupation of the ports of Dubai and blame it on the Iranians. Then we have to go to attack them to defend our ally.
But of course.
I'll tell you what. Turn that into a screenplay and let's co-produce that for Hollywood.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Not.
Wag the dog.
Okay,
the Dubai
thank
edition.
You.
Thanks, Tara.
Bye.
I've got lines open for you. It's the Free Speech Zone. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast, toll-free at 888-579-2540. Jake in Arcata, welcome.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I do share Tara's concern about the Bush administration in Iran. There is some talk going around, rumors apparently that there are Air Force personnel very upset about the current planning. You know, apparently it's not a Dr. Strangelove scenario. It really is on the table, a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran and their nuclear so-called nuclear facilities.
Now, hold on just a sec. You're suggesting that we would launch a preemptive attack and use nuclear weapons to take out their inoperative but desire, I'm stuck here, but what I'm describing is the nascent desire to produce nuclear weapons. So we would nuke them?
Well, the talk is of using mini nukes, bunker busters. And this is really, obviously a dire concern. The idea, hopefully this is not true, but I'm just saying, this is something I've heard people discuss, and I'm just very concerned. I hope that America wakes up and realizes that this Bush administration is so aggressive and so hell-bent on imperial conquest, they may very well resort to anything. And I think with 9/11, we saw that, in fact, they did resort to anything.
Well, and let's just take the case that I didn't comment about this yesterday because I didn't have enough information. But Judge Liani Brinkman in the Moussaoui case in suburban mm-hmm. Washington, she is on the verge of declaring what's essentially a mistrial in the government's effort to win the death penalty for Moussaoui. And I, of course, I don't support the death penalty, even for terrorists. And, his involvement is still, it was prospective. He wanted to be a hijacker, but he didn't actually do it. And therefore, you can use conspiracy charges and that sort of thing to nail him, and they have. Of course, he pled guilty, which made the government's task a lot easier. But what we see is that the government was so desperate to get the death penalty in the sentence for Moussaoui that they gummed up the whole case. They just completely ignored or, defied the order of the judge not to coach witnesses who were going to testify before the jury in the penalty phase of this trial.
That's right. And I actually did, this is a while back, several months ago, but I saw an interview with Moussaoui's mother. And Moussaoui's mother was very blunt about the fact that her son is mentally ill. Her son is schizophrenic. I mean, she was basically telling everybody that we're not to believe this guy.
Wow.
He's out of his mind. And
after
all, didn't he stand up in the middle of the trial and yell, "I am Al-Qaeda"? Didn't he make, statement, basically incriminate himself? I mean, this is a guy, obviously, who, you're right, may have well wanted to be an Al-Qaeda terrorist, but the question whether or not he actually was a legitimate terrorist is still up in the air. This is the whole thing with the Bush administration. You can't tell one story from another in terms of whether it's true or not, because they don't back up anything they say with facts or with evidence. It's always just simply assertions, and we're supposed to believe Bush and have faith in him. Well, Bush has lied far too many times, Peter, for us to believe a damn word he has to say now.
Well, you're right about the assertions, and it's just astounding that they will say things, the media will repeat them, without questioning, challenging them, or in cases where it's warranted, referring them to them as fabrications or outright lies.
That's right, and they won't even call an obvious lie a lie.
They're
their
positions. Bush administration adopts positions, and the positions are reported, and our perceptions are managed by those positions. But facts are rarely involved anywhere.
Yeah, facts have seemed to become a thing of the past with American journalism. I don't remember them having any problems saying Bill Clinton lied. I don't remember that being a problem for our journalists. But, you know, with the Bush administration, they clearly are scared. The Bush administration is very vindictive, and they go after their enemies. So I can understand why some of these people in the press are as scared as they are, frankly.
Yeah. All right, Jake, thank you.
Thanks, Victor.
Nice to talk to you today. That leaves a line open for you. If you're calling from the North Coast, it's toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. On the Central Coast, I want to hear from you. Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, call me. 831-899-5792. And we take calls from Marina, too. 831-899-KRXA. We'll continue in a moment. It's 43 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Tom Hartman.
Chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill, he says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 546 now on the ride home. Here's Denise at Metro Traffic.
Thank you. We have quite a few new accidents. Hollister Road, Shore Road at Fraser Lake Road, accident on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. One of them may be on fire. Crews are en route. Del Monte Forest, we got a cell phone caller who claims that Congress Road between Forest Lodge and Sunset is closed due to police activity. And in Prunedale, they're still working in Meridian Road at 156. A vehicle hit a tree and is blocking lanes. Corralitos Road at Hames Road, watch out for an injury accident. Two vehicles involved reportedly blocking lanes there as well. Traffic is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, right now your participating Genuine Toyota Service Center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 for qualified service or tire purchases. Restrictions do apply, so see your dealer for details. That's traffic, and I'm Denise on KRXA 540.
Lovely, Denise. Thanks a lot. Forty-seven minutes past the hour. We're in the home stretch here, the Peter B. Collins Show, the Free Speech Zone, and I've got room for your call. 831-899-5792.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sanctuaries now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I take it. Wrap it up.
All right, T-Birds, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for that musical transition. And we've got Virginia on the line from Salinas. Hello, Virginia. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
two things I want to talk to you about if you have time.
I do.
I may have missed your having this on the program, but the California Clean Money Campaign is really going pretty well in California. It's done very well in Maine, where they say about 90% of the announced candidates running for the Senate and quite a few for the House have pledged to use this. Have you had any chance to look at the details of the Clean Money Campaign?
Indeed we have, Virginia. We've had several segments on the program featuring Lonnie Hancock, the assemblywoman from Berkeley, who has co-authored the legislation in California.
Good.
We also have interviewed the Clean Money Campaign leader from New Mexico.
I missed those. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Well, I hope that you continue. And the Clean Money Bill, which is going to come up in the Senate for a likely battle, they say, that's AB 583. And I think it's great to give all the publicity and discussion and education that you can.
Now, Virginia, let me just turn the tables on you here a moment. Why do you want to get money out of politics? Don't you like the idea that your legislators spend at least half of their time on their cell phones outside their offices raising money, and that's time that they won't be spending doing damage by writing bad legislation and getting those bills enacted?
Well, I'm not... not sure where you got that one, but anyway, I know it's not your opinion any more than it is mine. I happen to be fond of a lot of politicians, starting with Russ Feingold right now.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people do not need to sit on the phones asking for money because they're running for politics. And when you get a plan like the Clean Money, where they have to say, I will take money from 1,000 people who give me $5 each, but not from any big contributors, they've got themselves at least $5,000 for the beginning and a committee of 1,000 people. So it's worked very well, as you probably know, in Maine and Arizona, and we hope it can work here, and that clean bill, clean money bill, you know, may help.
Well, the only thing I would say, Virginia, I fully support the clean money legislation. There's also a measure that San Francisco's Board of Supervisors is considering that would call for public financing of mayoral campaigns in San Francisco. And ultimately, I think that public financing is the way to go, because the only way to remove the graft, the corruption, and the appearance of collusion and conflicts of interest is to get that campaign money out of there. And, you know, John Laird, the assemblyman from Santa Cruz, is on our show every week. And I asked him a few weeks back what it would be like if he never had to raise campaign money again. And, you know, he just sounded the sense of relief to not have to beg for money and spend all that time plotting and planning and calling to get it would enable him to just have that much more time and bandwidth for the real work that we send him to Sacramento to do.
Absolutely. And there's another point, though. Living here in Salinas, we're out to some excellent candidates, excellent people who volunteer, do good jobs, some already elected to minor offices and some major offices like our mayor. But there are many people who could never have a chance to run without a campaign such as raising $5 from 1,000 people who will then work for them and get them somehow into the political field when otherwise they'd have no chance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great for, I think, getting new people into the political scene as well as helping those who are already there.
Yeah.
But can I take a couple minutes to talk about something else, which is urgent, a little more.
Go ahead, Virginia.
I think you may have some examples, since you've talked about the events this week marking 3 years of the war. And there will certainly be a protest march in Monterey Saturday afternoon, 4 to 6. That's this Saturday, the 18th.
Right.
They're calling it a protest march in black in solidarity with people around the world. So, you know, denouncing the invasion, the occupation. We're going to have a demonstration here in Salinas, a protest against 3 years of the war, and our theme is stop the war by stopping the funding. I'm old enough to remember, as some of your listeners will be, that the Vietnam War finally was stopped only when Congress stopped funding it.
Yeah.
And I think that'll have to be done in Iraq, and I think the new request for more money should be absolutely refused. The request for more troops should be absolutely refused. If they cannot even manage a pilgrimage without our sending troops, how are they ever going to manage their government? Mm-hmm. And I think certainly sending more money, sending, well, if it was good money, it's good money after bad.
Well, so, I certainly agree that that is a point to focus on. Part of the problem is that the way that Republicans demagogue the issue makes it difficult for weak Democrats to vote against these continuing these special authorizations, the off-the-books funding for the war in Iraq. And, you know, Russ Feingold, who you mentioned, has the courage to stand up and say no.
Right.
But too many Democrats are looking over their shoulders. They're afraid of getting the treatment that Max Cleland got when he was ousted from the Senate in Georgia in 2002.
Carry and, with the boat, Swift boats.
Yeah. So that's the problem that we face, and we need more courageous Democrats like Russ Feingold. Virginia, thanks a lot for calling today.
Can I mention the time and date for the Salinas event?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Saturday, March 18th at 11 o'clock at the Star Center, the corner of East Blanco Road and South Main Street. We hope everyone who's objecting to 3 years of this terrible war will come and help us call for stopping it.
Thanks for your voice.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Karen in Morgan Hill, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Well, I called to talk about something different, but for the last caller, I don't know if you are familiar with a website called womensaynotowar.org.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a great website. Women from all over the world, as a matter of fact, March 8th, they had ceremonies at different places. Cindy Sheehan was arrested. This administration is really horrible, but the main reason I called is actually something different, but I think it correlates, and that is I believe very strongly that one of the biggest reasons why people are so apathetic and just starting to wake up now is because of all the poisons in the food. We're overworked, and there are so many toxins like aspartame, which is a known neurotoxin in over 9,000 foods. People are buying these and eating them all the time, and they're sick and they're tired and they don't have the energy to think about what's going on around them because they can barely make a living.
Well, I understand your point, and I won't dispute it, but I think that the apathy of average Americans has less to do with their diets and more to do with apathy and just their willingness to be led. And I think that too many Americans, I mean, I agree that Americans are stressed and overworked, and we can make excuses for the way people check out and watch reality TV and escapist TV instead of trying to inform themselves about the true nature of the Bush administration and what they're doing to our nation and the world. But I think that every American has an obligation to really look at these issues and deal with them and not just watch American Idol.
Well, definitely, but there's also a lot of insidious things that are going on with our food. Right now there's a bill that just passed the House, H.R. 4167, which would take away the state's rights to eventually require more labeling on some of the toxins that are in our food.
Oh, you're right. We spoke to Attorney General Bill Lockyer about that bill yesterday.
Yeah, and to me this is a horrible travesty. I mean, genetic engineering of our food by Monsanto is absolutely ridiculous.
Right about that. I mean, for a pesticide company to now control most of the seed stock in the world and to use it for their economic gain at the expense of average people and to try to force Frankenfoods, these genetically modified organisms, into our diets, it's really obscene.
It's totally obscene. Without our knowledge or consent, and our children are the ones who are really going to suffer by this because we have no idea what the ramifications are of them eating food that's totally foreign to their DNA.
Yeah. Karen, what's for dinner at your house?
Well, actually, we had a potato with broccoli, and still can't cut the cheese, if you pardon my expression.
Well, I will. I think I have to. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Jim
and Eureka, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, Peter B., I'm still waiting for my airplane ticket to the Middle East to teach everybody to sing Kumbaya.
Okay.
But Virginia kind of stole my thunder in that she got to mention where the protest marches are going to be on Saturday.
Okay.
Because in listening to your program, it was like about a quarter to six here, Eureka time, you talked about protesting and stuff like that with somebody from New York or... Mm-hmm. Where protests are going to be in New York and Los Angeles, but your viewing audience, you keep asking people to call in from Eureka, the Central Coast,
right.
and Monterey, but up until 10 minutes ago, there wasn't any mention as to where people can go to protest the war and, you know, mm-hmm. get out on the streets and shout down the plutocracy.
And tell us about the activities in Humboldt County. What do you know about this weekend?
Well, see, I was hoping that you would know.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll find out.
Okay, I think it starts at noon at the Veterans Hall, mm-hmm. but I'm not 100% sure, but like I was hoping that you would know or at least find out about it.
All right.
And announce.
Well, let me ask our activists in Eureka Arcata to get in touch with us. Either email me with the information or you can call in right now, even after the show, and talk with Matt Renner, my producer, and let him know what the actions are this weekend in the Eureka area. Thanks a lot for the call, Jim, and let us know when you get there for the Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Critical weeks approach in Iraq this weekend. Thousands of Shiites will gather in Karbala for the Ashura pilgrimage. Iraqi officials are ordering election-style security steps. No cars on the road. Many more patrols. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
With 133,000 American troops already in Iraq, an armored battalion of about 700 soldiers kept on standby in Kuwait is moving into Iraq to provide additional security over the next several weeks.
CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick with more on the troops.
Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pay says the job the U.S. set out to do isn't yet accomplished.
If he were to leave Iraq tomorrow, we would still have a long way ahead to defeat terrorism around the world.
Pace indicated the battle would be a long one.
It takes decades for terrorist organizations to either be defeated or to lose their ideology.
Pace said not at the current levels, but for the foreseeable future, the nation will need troops deployed around the world to respond to threats of terrorism.
Today on Capitol Hill, General John Abizaid told a House subcommittee the U.S. may have a long-term military presence in Iraq, and he wouldn't rule out the idea of a permanent military base there. For the federal government's attempt to obtain the death penalty for al-Qaeda soldier Zacharias Moussaoui, a big step backward, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says prosecutors are lucky to still be in the game.
This is about the worst thing the judge could have done short of ending the case outright.
A government lawyer briefed several transportation security witnesses to prepare them for testimony. That is a big no-no. Even failing the death penalty, if that happens, the guaranteed sentence for Moussaoui is life without parole. A dam burst in Hawaii on the island of Kauai, sending a killer flood downstream.
There's the possibility of homes and people in the water after a 250-foot agricultural dam busted.
Coast Guard Petty Officer Jennifer Johnson says one person is known dead, three people are missing. There had been fears suicides would go up in Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina. Officials say didn't happen. The numbers are actually lower than the previous year.
And I'm Mike Wallace. After 38 years and hundreds of stories on 60 Minutes...